Mr. Chair, thank you. I think we're in widespread agreement that the human role in autonomous weapons systems is a fundamental factor when determining if a system can be used in accordance with IHL. That's been clear in our discussions, and it's been clear in the guiding principles. It seems we're also well aligned on why it's fundamental. It helps to avoid a responsibility gap, enables an increase in predictability, can help preserve dignity in the use of lethal force, and of course satisfies an operational imperative. Military success cannot be solely dependent on technology. In order to improve or extend human capabilities and gain military edge, humans need to have meaningful human control. But what does it look like in practice? How does it manifest itself and when? What impacts it? What is enough to make human control meaningful? These questions are inherently complex and require much more expert focus, but I hope that as a group we're able to agree some concrete recommendations on them this week, and I hope that this in part is helpful towards that. We would suggest by looking at the forms that humans interact with autonomous systems and exercise control over them as a starting point. Even at a brief glance, it's clear that human control is complex, situation dependent, dynamic, and not necessarily bound to a single moment in time. It is clear that activities at different stages of the system's life cycle can contribute to or detract from the level of human control. Having control, therefore, over one element isn't just enough, nor is looking at one activity in isolation. Control is distributed across the life cycle of a weapon, and we need to better understand how interactions across that life cycle impact control as a whole, so that a comprehensive and clear control measure can be put in place. We therefore shouldn't focus on control just at the point of attack or use, but also on those stages present in the build-up to that, and how they all fit together and interact. We've talked previously to a large degree on human-machine interaction. That for us underpins control. But what itself does that look like? It could be the degree of freedom a human has to choose between different courses of action. The human's ability to impact or change the system's behavior, impacted of course by their ability to process information in a timely manner. Or indeed the degree of predictability. Control is highly context driven. It might be exercised in different ways through control of a situation or environment, in addition to the specific controls over the operation of the AWS itself. Mr. Chair, there is no one-size-fits-all approach or option for what is or isn't human control, or what is or isn't meaningful, nor is control centralized. It depends on the situation, the system, the nature of the task, and the level of control at various stages during the life cycle. When we discuss control, we should maintain a focus on the objective of ensuring that the use and outcome of a system is compliant with IHL. Mr. Chair, please let me end by endorsing the practical exercises like those hosted by UNIDIR earlier this year that have enabled us to properly consider control in a practical space and see how it might work in a practical example. Thank you.